All right. Woo!
Welcome back, guys, to this episode of Breaking It Down with
Brandy,
Camille,
and Katie. Today we have Zora DeHorter with her. Zora is a going smooth so far. She's a Nigerian-born, British-raised independent film, television, and commercial casting director. She has cast films such as Ali G in Da House, Species 3, and Once Fallen, starring fabulous actors like Ed Harris and Taraji P. Henson. She followed that with Sushi Girl, in which she attached actors like Danny Trejo and Mark Hamill, and worked on Solace, a criminally acclaimed short film, critically, not criminally,
We're doing good.
Short film with Academy Award winning actress Kathy Bates. She was also recently an expert judge in casting on CBS's The World's Best.
Yes.
Woo! When she's not casting, she also works as an acting coach. After working for over 17 years as a casting director, Zora has gained an extensive knowledge of what it takes to get the job. Here with us today, the fabulously talented Zora DeHorter.
Woo!
Thank you for having me, ladies.
Yes, thanks for hanging out.
I'm loving all this girl power.
I love it. Zora, can you share with us what has been your journey to becoming a casting director? How did you get where you are today?
Yeah.
Well, I started off as an actress. I came out from London. As you can tell, I have a British accent. I studied in London. I went to Guildhall School of Music and Drama. I went to boarding school, and I just fell in love with acting. And done theatre. But, you know, if you want to become a superstar, you come to Hollywood.
Right.
So I had this idea that, you know, you come to Hollywood for film and television. And I came to Hollywood. But remember, this is 18 years ago, when at the time, a lot of the ethnic roles were still very much ghettofied.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were still drug users. The women were beaten up, mm-hmm. were using drugs, were abusers. You know, just really degrading kind of secondary kind of roles. And I grew up in a proper English boarding school where everyone is taught elocution and you all have to sound proper. So I came out here and I'd go to one and I'd go, hello, and they go, what are you? They couldn't connect the black skin with the what they thought, I guess, is proper white accent. So they couldn't compute me being black.
Right.
And that was very confusing to me because I was never really aware of being black. I was just another person who just went to school. So here it's very different. And when I would do an American accent, it was very much a broadcaster. I couldn't do the ghettofied kind of roles. And I thought, you know what, that's the niche, and I'm going to have my own niche. Mm-hmm. So I was always playing the exotic foreigners. Thank God for people like Aaron Spelling, rest in peace. Because he had those great exotic shows, and he wanted diversity. Mm-hmm. But his wasn't enough. I wasn't getting enough work. And I have 2 degrees.
And congratulations. Thank you. Awesome.
And I thought, you know, I want a business card. I turned 30. Oh, no, I hope I'm not giving away my age. Okay, take that bit out, please.
You turned 30 recently.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I want a business card. I want a real career. And I thought, if I'm going to give up acting, which is a big step for me, I want to be around actors. Mm. And I always loved the energy in casting offices. And as all of us know, there is no school to learn how to be a casting director.
Right.
In fact, I may be teaching a course at LACC that covers that because
that's awesome.
Yes, so we're trying to put something together.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. So I decided, luckily, I'd saved some money, so I was able to offer my services for free. So I'd call casting offices for TV shows that I loved. And I'd say, I can come and help you for free. For free, come on down. Mm-hmm. So I was able to work with some really great people, Junie Lowry Johnson, mm-hmm. Jean Scocciamaro, Mary Jo Slater, mm-hmm. Mary Vanu, I mean, everybody.
Wow.
So I learned from those people, and after a year, I got offered my first film, which was with Percy Adlon, the director who made the critically acclaimed Baghdad Cafe with C.C.H. Mm-hmm. Pounder. Mm-hmm. And I did that on my own, had a great experience, and I've been casting on my own since.
Wow, that's awesome.
I've done TV, done film. I did a TV show for 2 years for NBC. So, you know, just been casting, and I get to do some of my acting again when I coach privately.
Right.
I do one-on-one coaching for people who are just about to do an audition. They come to me and make sure they're ready for the audition.
Wonderful. Do you read with the actors that come in to audition for you too?
Yes.
Mm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. When I do pre-reads, I do the reading because obviously I know what I'm looking for. I know what the director needs.
Right.
Because you've got to remember, I'm the casting director. So I'm directing you for what they need so I can feel comfortable bringing you to the director.
Right.
But when it's the director session, when it's a callback, I tend to get a reader. So that way I can be really available to the reader.
Mm-hmm.
especially if I do feature films, because they need more time, and sometimes I'm dealing with first-time directors, mm-hmm. so I need to baby them a little bit, mm-hmm. get into the process of auditioning actors, because a lot of them are scared of actors. They don't know how to talk the actor's language.
Yeah.
A lot of them want to just say, just do it again, and I'm trying to get actors to understand that doesn't help an actor.
Right.
You need to be
right.
more specific about what that means by doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've gotten way ahead of what
no,
I need.
No, you are good.
You're good.
So that's how it started. I was an actress and then got into casting that way, which I think is a lot of us. A lot of mm-hmm. casting directors started that mm-hmm. way. So we can speak the actor's language a lot
love
of times.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
You know, it's important.
It helps. I mean, there's yes. some who don't. They're right. very impatient with actors, and that's
yes.
okay too. But I work with actors. For me, I want to try and get them the best job, because the reality is, if they do a good job, I look good.
Right.
They work, I work. There's peace in the world.
Right.
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 We're all paying our bills.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's how I look.
When you're
it.
Bringing these actors in, what's the first thing that you're looking on their resume?
Well, the first thing I look at is the photo. And what compels me in a photo is seeing some kind of sparkle, some kind mm-hmm. of smile. I know that people like to do the whole posing serious, you know, I'm a dramatic actor look. I don't like those pictures, to be honest with you. I like something with a soft smile
mm.
for two reasons. First of all, there's something that happens to a face when people smile. So I like to see how people's face contort when they smile. Also to get a sense of their teeth.
Right.
I hate
awesome.
To say it, that's, you know, we need to make sure for whatever reason, if they have good teeth or bad teeth, I may need that specifically for the character.
Oh,
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, so I need to see how they smile and what happens with their face when they smile, and I want to see that sparkle, light mm-hmm. in their eyes. And when you tend to do a dramatic, there's not usually that sparkle in the eyes, because you're trying to look maybe serious, sad, contemplative, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it. So I like softer smiles. So I like to see smiley photos, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the back, depending on what I'm casting, if I'm casting a feature film, I may look for people that have good theatre background.
Mm-hmm.
Because films, generally speaking, especially the kind of budgets I'm doing, actually even with bigger films, because with bigger films you have months and months to film. With more smaller independent films, not as you're shooting 15 days for, mm-hmm. you know, a 100-page script.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I need people who understand how to give everything and be able to do it day after day. You know, you're going to do wide shots, then tight shots, then two shots. So mm-hmm. I need people who can repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and still have the intensity. And theatre,
right.
mm-hmm. sometimes you're doing theatre for months and you have to still convey those emotions.
Same thing.
Yeah. So for that,
yeah.
if I'm doing TV, I'll look for soap opera experience. I know people say that, mm-hmm. ooh, because a lot of actors go, soap operas, ooh, they're beneath me. Please take that vernacular out of your dictionary, because that mm-hmm. is not true. Soap opera actors have the best experience, because a lot of times they're doing so many pages
yeah,
a
right.
day.
That's right.
Right.
So I actually love soap opera actors. I can bring them in for an audition. I'll give you an example, and I'll say, you know what, that role is not right for you, but I have something else.
Mm-hmm.
And a soap opera actor can go, absolutely, I'll just give me a few minutes, and they get it.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't, they'll go, can I come back tomorrow? And already I'm turned off by people who
right.
can't do it immediately.
Yeah.
So soap opera experience, I look for soap opera experience. If I'm doing sci-fi, like I did a few episodes of, you know, Stargate and stuff like that. So I'm looking for theatre there.
Mm-hmm.
Because with theatre, you're used to emoting and conveying your and moving your face
right.
in a certain way so the person in the back row can see what's going
right.
on. With things like, you know, sci-fi, a lot of times you're wearing prosthetics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to use your face in such a way. So it depends what I'm casting. But TV, a lot of times I look for soap opera and TV, more TV. And then for film, I'll look for theatre.
Mm.
Yeah. And film, another film experience.
Right.
Too. Yeah.
What would you say, depending on what you're casting, makes a great audition?
Well, being off book.
Mm-hmm.
Please, memorize your lines. Jesus, it sounds obvious, but it's amazing how many people still come in and they're going, I love you, looking down at the sides.
Yeah.
Mm.
I tape all my auditions.
Mm.
I do not want to see, you know, the bobbing head. The bobbing head means you're constantly looking down at your sides because you can't remember the lines. So please, please try to be off book, because it makes you feel relaxed. If the director gives you an adjustment,
mm-hmm.
you're not going, I'm sorry, which part is that? Because you're still trying to remember your sides and your lines and the pacing.
Mm-hmm.
If the director can give you adjustment, you can go, absolutely, give me a minute, because you know where everything is falling into place. So try to be off book. Also, when I say be prepared, also know who you're going in to meet.
Mm.
nowadays, you're living in a great time to be an actor because between Google, IMDb, YouTube, there's so many ways to resource and investigate everybody you're going to meet, the casting director, the director, the producer. Right. So that way you walk into the room truly informed. And it's flattering when you say, oh my gosh, I really loved when you did that Loving Annabelle. Oh my gosh, thank you. Because it's a cool film and I'm not sure everybody saw that. So it's kind of nice. It's flattering. It strokes everybody's ego. Why not go in there and be well informed about everybody? It makes you feel better about who is in the room.
Right.
Not just about the character, but about who's in the room. And also about the character. A lot of times, okay, you can't always get the full script, but there's no reason why you can't get more information about the project. Mm. I say to an actor, download the characters from all the other characters from the script, and pretty much at that point you'll have the script.
Mm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's another way to help yourself. Find out what the other characters are about, so it helps you understand what your character is. Right. It's nothing worse than an actor coming in and going, what is this? How does this character relate to this person? Right away, it's a red flag for me. I'm thinking this person is not ready to come to be auditioning at this level because they don't even know. If you don't know enough about the character's background, how can you do work on the character?
Right.
That's like basic acting 101. Mm. So things like that, those are red flags for me when they ask about the character or is there anything you want me to do you haven't seen anyone else do? Don't ask me questions.
They ask
you that? Yeah.
Really?
Trust your instincts. Do exactly what you feel you want to do based on your personal truth and I'll let you know if it's not on the right track. I can steer you on the right track.
Mm. Do you like when people hold their sides or do you hold the sides?
Hold your sides. Absolutely hold your sides. In fact, every time you see the reader turn the page with the reader so that way you're truly in sync.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, that's a good...
Yeah. Mm. So that way if you are memorized and just like in life, sometimes you're talking and whatever happens, you go blank. You literally will go blank.
Right.
Everybody's had experiences with that. I mean, even when I'm doing live speaking, sometimes I'll go, what was I talking about? Yeah. So even as an actor, you've got all these people in the room. You have the director, the producer, the cast director, the reader, and there's a room, and sometimes it's not a huge room. Mm. It can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
So always have your sides handy. Turn the page when the reader turns the page so we can also see that you guys are in sync. Because just in case you do go blank, you're not suddenly having to turn three or four pages because the moment is now gone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And please don't ever go, I'm so sorry. Because that gets you out of the character. Just take a breath, turn the page, and do a pickup. Mm-hmm. So that way you're staying in the moment, truly in the moment, as opposed to, oh my God, then you're out. You're becoming the self-deprecating actor, and no one wants to see that. It's so uncomfortable seeing that.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's good advice. I like that.
Do you do a lot of self-tapes?
Yes.
And what is the biggest mistake you see in self-tape submissions?
Okay, with self-tapes, make sure you are in a place that does not have lots of sound around you. Please don't do it like in a cafe or out in the street where there's traffic and there's buzzing sounds. Try to find an indoor space. Make sure the lighting is good, bright, directly at you so we're not having this weird... off-color look to your face. It may look like you're on drugs or something crazy. So make sure the lighting's good. Three-quarter. I always say, do like you would an audition. A lot of times in an audition, we'd start with a full shot so we can get a sense of your body, and then we go into a three-quarter, almost like a typical headshot look, you know, like the bust above kind of thing. Like you see in a stat, you know, like a... bust above.
like a headshot.
Yeah. Exactly. And have a reader. Oh my gosh. I'm blown away by sometimes you'll hear a person speak and there's no one feeding them the lines. They just read the line and then they'll do the next line. Even if it's a child, you just need someone to do the lines for you. And the reason I say even if it's a child, because another thing actors get into is they go, oh, the reader didn't give me enough. The reader's job is not to give you enough. It's the reader's there to feed you the lines. And no matter what the line is, you should still be affected by it. I could say, I love you. And just hearing the word I love you should stimulate you in such a way, depending on what your character's going through. I shouldn't have to go, I love you!
Right.
For you to say, now act. And I'm so sick of actors going, I couldn't really do anything because the reader didn't give me anything. Always find someone to read the lines opposite you. Get a neighbor, get your child. Mm-hmm. You just need someone to feed you the lines. So please always have a reader. And, you know, check it. Check it back for sound. Don't send it unless you've checked it and you make sure everything, the sound quality is good. Your lighting is good. You're in a three-quarter. And always do it horizontal. Don't do it vertical. Yeah, no, sorry, do it vertical, not horizontal, sideways.
Mm-hmm. Hamburger, phone. Not hot dog.
Yes.
Right. Oh, that's
a good one.
Very good. Girl Scout terms back in the day.
Wow, that's good.
And, you know, I'm fine using your phone. You know, everyone's like, you know, you can go to, you know, a professional place because obviously they'll do it right. They have the lighting great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They have a great backdrop. They have a mic ready for you. So if you have the money, absolutely invest in a proper self-taping mm-hmm. studio. And there's so many great places now. But if you don't have that, then use your phone. But just find simple backgrounds and make sure you're clear and you have a reader and do it to the reader. Unless it's a commercial, then obviously they'll tell you if you wanted to direct it to the camera. Please never tape directly looking to the camera. Mm-hmm. Always have to the side with a reader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When yes. you're in the audition room, so when it's not a self-tape, but when they're actually in the room with you, we've already heard that you prefer that they have things memorized,
yeah.
which seems pretty basic, but again, just getting that out there.
Please do,
What are other mistakes that you might see in the audition room that you're like, oh man, red flag, or oh, don't do that?
Well, even just the way you walk into the room. Mm. Walk into the room with the attitude, I am here to make your day better, and let me show you how. I can already tell by the way a person walks into the room if they're going to be ready yeah. for a callback.
Mm.
So many people walk in, I'm not worthy. Ah. That's the way their body is slouched over.
Mm-hmm.
Their eyes can't make direct contact. So just walk in with an attitude of, I can't wait to do this audition for you.
Right.
Wait till you see how good I am. I want to see that. So right away, that sets the tone. Don't ask silly questions. Like I've already given an example
yeah.
of, you know, is there anything you want me to see that you haven't seen yet? Don't ask me weird things about the character. You should already know these things because you can't do work on your character
mm-hmm.
and your piece if you don't know about the character, who the other people are in relation to them, what the obstacle is. Those are basic acting things that you should already know when you come into the room.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And be kind to the casting assistants.
Yes, always.
Be kind
yeah.
to them.
Be everybody. Be nice to everybody because, you know, you never know who
That's
these
true.
People are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I mean, as you know, people say this all the time. It's a small business. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows someone who knows somebody.
Right.
And mm-hmm. another thing, too, is know how to leave a room. After you finish the audition, just say thank you and leave. Believe me, if I have anything else I want to say to you, I will say it immediately. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I'll just say thank you back and leave.
Right.
Don't mm-hmm. just linger.
That's awesome. No one's ever said that so far to like.
Because that's
leave.
Uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
just say
yeah.
thank you and leave. Don't
yeah.
say, oh, is anything else I can do? Or
no,
can I try
go.
It this way? No, if I want to see anything else, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And if there's something about you, but you didn't quite do it, I will adjust you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just know. Another thing too, if you get an adjustment, it's not a bad thing.
No.
But
yeah.
sometimes you can see an actor's going, oh, no, you can see them psyching themselves out, going, oh, no, I didn't do it right. No, that's not what it is about. I just want to see, I'm the casting director.
Right.
So I just want to see if you can do it differently, if you can take direction well, because the director needs to know that you can take direction.
Right.
So please don't take it as a bad thing when you get an adjustment. Be excited that you get to be in the room longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But don't expect it. If you don't get an adjustment,
mm-hmm.
it's not necessarily that you were bad. It's just that maybe you did everything that needs to be done and there's nothing else I can tell you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't be offended if you don't get to stay in the room longer.
I'm just
say
picturing
thank you.
Like actors getting like dragged out of
yeah.
the
room. Okay, time to go.
Yeah.
Well, I had one actor, because a lot of times I'm in the room by myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just me and the camera a lot of times. I had an actor that made me feel very uncomfortable because after he finished, I said, okay, thank you. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay and I'm going to do it again. And the way he said it,
oh.
I felt really threatened. I really
wow.
felt really, really threatened. And I said, okay. But I couldn't even enjoy his reading because
right.
I felt so unsafe now.
Right.
And after that, I was like, okay, great. Great. He's like, okay, that was not bad. Okay, thank you. Now I'll leave. And you
wow.
can't do that because I'm not going to ever, ever bring you back.
No.
And I'll call your people and tell them immediately what kind of person you are and how uncomfortable you made
wow.
me. So,
because there's a way to say to you, like, hey, like,
yeah.
would you mind if I did it
yeah,
one
exactly,
more time?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Just so I feel better, can we do it one more
yeah,
time?
Yeah,
not to yell at you.
Exactly. And not to, yeah, because I'm not enforced it that way. Say, well, no, I'm going to do it again and demand mm. it and say it in such a way because then it's uncomfortable.
Mm.
Yeah.
So please just be wow. graceful leaving the room.
Wow. I'm sorry to laugh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wild to
yeah.
me. If you could cast anything, past, present, or future, what would it be? It could be like a genre, a whole like trilogy of things.
There's like a specific movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love Lord of the Rings.
Love to see made. And yeah. You would love to
get. Oh, wow, guys. I did not prepare my.
It's a fun one. Yeah.
It's always my favorite one.
Well, Black Panther, for example. Mm. I mean, I'm actually Nigerian. I'm actually African. So I know so many African actors. And I'm kind of, right. To be honest with you, I love who. You know, I don't want to be a backstabber to casting directors, but right. I'm actually offended that they didn't hire a black casting director. To me, that was offensive. That was really offensive. There's an opportunity. There's not enough black casting directors out there. So the fact that you didn't purposely choose one, I'm offended by that. So right. If they were to do I know that actually they are doing another one. So I think she's doing it again. I wish they'd cast me. I used me because right. I do know so many African actors that could have filled all this amazing
and you're from
room.
There.
You've got the background, you know? Yeah.
In fact, I asked my friends, how come you didn't get in this role, in this project, because you should have been in this film.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. You're an amazing actor. Why didn't they find you? So that upsets me. Things like that.
Right.
But, you know, that's just me just saying that. I'm African, damn it! Use a proper African for African projects.
Right.
Know? Yeah. So that's, you know, things like that. But I mean, obviously I'd love to be doing more studio stuff. But at the same time, I love the freedom that independents do, you know, get to do, because it's much more collaborative. The director, we're making the decisions on, yes, you're really involved in it.
Yeah.
You have more time, a lot of times. You don't have, you know, Big Brother or the studio deciding which actor is the right one, generally speaking.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you have the, you know, the investor or the distribution company that have a say, but a lot of times you can maneuver around that a lot easier than a studio.
Right. Do you get to go on set a lot more, too, with your independent? That's awesome. Yeah. To be able to see the whole world you created come together.
Absolutely, yeah. Because that's one thing about a casting director. You know, you're part of the development, the pre-production. And then people don't know necessarily until you get to the wrap party who you are.
Right.
So, yeah, it's lovely to go on set and thank everybody and see them in action after you've read the script and picked these people and see it all come together. That's another thing that's fun for me.
That's awesome.
As I put on the wall all the roles and see how it all come together after you've read the script.
Right, because you get to see, technically, you get to see, like, the cast and everything before anybody else does. And this is going to be creates this world.
Exactly,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
We've gotten to the part of the podcast where we like to say it's our rapid fire questions. And what I mean by rapid fire.
You missed the line.
I did.
Almost. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's my question.
I know.
That's
it's
okay.
Your favorite
one.
Well, God, we're really off our game today.
It's the heat. It's
fine. It is warm here in LA. What are your hobbies outside of being casting director? What do you like to do when you're not working?
Well, first of all, I have a child, an 8-year-old son who's my life. I had him later in life. So, to be honest with you, he's amazing at basketball, soccer, baseball, and he was doing piano for a while. He's not doing it anymore. He wants to focus on sports. So on the weekends, I'm running around being a soccer, basketball, baseball mom, and I love
that. That's
awesome.
I started doing guitar, so I'm really enjoying playing guitar and the meditative kind of quiet state you get into. I write. I do creative writing. So I love doing that too.
Wow.
So that's
you're busy.
Yeah.
So with creative writing, do you write like stories?
Yeah.
Like what is
stories or just free flow? What's, you know, maybe a dream that came to me and just psychoanalyzing that.
That's cool.
What it all means. You know, stuff like that. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And just writing things about my son and how amazing he is.
Yeah. I
understand.
Yeah. I get you. I know.
The mamas.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to get to the part of the podcast where it's rapid fire. And when we say rapid fire, we just mean it's just questions that you've probably been asked 100 times, but we're going to ask them again.
Okay.
So the first one being, what is your biggest pet peeve in casting? When you're casting or about casting, or what is that pet peeve that just...
Well, the whole new trend right now, which is to find people that have social media following, who have lots of followers.
Oh, sorry, I'd love to hear you say that.
They're called influencers.
Influencers. I have to say, I am not enjoying that part of casting. That's not what I got into casting for. I love the idea of finding real thespians. As you know, being a thespian myself, I loved getting thespians to do the roles.
He agrees with you.
That's right, mommy.
Yeah.
So when they ask for these influencers and you go out there and bring them in, a lot of times they don't know how to act. They don't even know how to connect with a reader. They don't understand. Yep. When an actor gives them the direction, they'll go, what is that? What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean by that. Because they're not used to being an actor. They're playing themselves. A lot of these DVDs and videos and Instagram things they do is they're playing themselves.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have a cool personality, which we all enjoy and we giggle and laugh about. But it doesn't always translate to working with other people in a structure of the scene and trying to get into this character and the subtext. And they don't even know what subtext means, you know, which is fine. So a lot of times you struggle with that. And sometimes they'll put them in the film and you can see that doesn't quite, you know, but they look cool.
Yeah.
They'll bring in those, they'll bring in their followers, they'll bring in their viewers, but you can see in the clip that, it's like, they didn't quite pull it off.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it. I understand what people need, especially because I'm working in the independent genre, you know, with budgets anywhere from $500 to $10 million budgets. So I understand what that's about. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I get a cringe at times when I hear, can you find some people with, you know, at least, you know, $500,000? I'm like, wow, okay, I'll do it for you, but you're going to see that it's not going to give you what you need.
So how does that work? So then do you go on Instagram or is it an IMDb thing? Like,
It's Instagram, YouTube, all those places where, you know, those followers are prevalent because you do see them doing active videos and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the videos are. It's Instagram and YouTube.
Mm. And have you found in your casting with that, do they bring more people in? Like, is that a true statement?
I wonder. I don't know if that's necessary. I don't know. Good question. Because I'm not sure what...
I always wondered if you have, like, does 26 million, does it actually bring people
I don't know if that's been the case in... I haven't got the numbers. You know, that's a distribution, production, producer thing. As casting directors, we're far removed from that. So I'm not sure if the people are actually making their money based on...
I'm going to have to find out.
Because you know when, like, people are like, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio's in this movie, I'm going to go see it because I know he's in it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
These influencers or just folks who have a lot of subscribers on YouTube or whatnot, they have all these followers. The idea definitely would be, people are familiar with so-and-so, you know, Bobby Joe, who's so great.
Yeah.
And Bobby Joe's in this movie. Oh, I'm so going to go see it. Yeah. But again, it might not necessarily correlate to,
like,
the production.
I like to see how many of them have actual longevity in the business.
For sure.
Because they're not trained, you know, so they're going to be one thing. Right?
But at the same time, this is going to sound contrary at the same, because I just made a claim about not liking the follower things. At the same time, if they're actors that I'm rooting for, I may tell the director, producer, look at them on Instagram, see the kind of platform or the pictures or see how many followers they have. So I'm also trying to tell actors, please try and beef up your followers. But I'm telling actors to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Because sometimes the director or producer, besides a demo reel, that's another thing I always tell actors, please, I don't care if it's even scenes from your theater group or your acting class, as long as it's nicely edited, just please always have a reel.
Right.
Just other things that shows besides the audition you have now that you're coming in for. Just please have a reel.
Yeah.
So besides a reel, put things on Instagram that shows you with fun, you know, being yourself, video footage, not just still photography. So we can see how you talk and how you move and how you do all that other stuff besides just the acting stuff.
Do you look at slate shots on Actors Access?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do, yeah.
Especially
if
I know
it's
a big thing.
I have to say, I do love the slates, but don't be corny about it. Just do slates.
I was just going
to
ask you that.
Some people will jump into frame. Hi, guys! You must hire me! I'm like, no, I don't want to hear you doing that. No. Just say, hello, this is Zora DeHorta. That's it.
Right.
Simple. Just so I can hear your voice and see you looking direct into camera and how you look besides the... You know, the polish. Because headshots, let's be honest, they're polished.
Yeah,
a lot of times they're airbrushed, they're beautiful photos. And I want to see the slates. I like them because it's right now it's candid. It shows you how you look with that bright light on you with just a regular t-shirt or whatever you're dressed like that particular slate.
Yeah.
So I like slates. I like those slates, especially if I don't know you.
And you get to hear their voice.
Exactly. You get to hear the voice, the tone, how they come up, their inflection. So that can help me too based on what I need for the character.
Right.
So I love the slates. And like I said, another reason I like the Instagram is we get to see you doing videos with you. Hi, guys. I'm out with my friends right now. This is Shelley. This is, you know what I mean? So it gets to see the candid of you. Because another thing that's important, we need to make sure we're hiring people that are likable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because a lot of times, like I said, I'm working on these films that are shooting in cramped days. You know, instead of being a two-month shoot, you know, a 3-month shoot, it's filming in 10 to 15 days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I need to make sure you're likable. So I get a sense of that, and the director gets, and producers get a sense of that from seeing your Instagram feeds and stuff like that. So always keep that active and make it fun and lively, because sometimes I'll say, let's check out their Instagram and see what kind of person they are.
Yeah.
So please, it's another thing, always make sure you're likable, you're approachable. Even in person, just be charming when you meet the director and producer, because when I was casting TV, that's crucial, because with TV, a lot of times you're going onto a set where people have been working together from 1 year to 15 years.
Yeah. Right.
The crew and the cast are family, and you're a guest star or a co-star. So I need to make sure you're a likable person. So that's another tip too.
Well, you've given us lots of fantastic tips. Do you have, whether it's like a one sentence or slogan or whatever your best advice to actors is?
Your mantra,
Be yourself. And when I say be yourself, I mean the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because that is what's going to make you stand out from Jane, Jill, whoever else you're auditioning for. Because don't forget, when I first started casting, when I first putting out breakdowns, I was lucky to maybe get 300 people for one role. Now I put out a breakdown, I get 1,100 people.
Wow.
I have no idea where all these people are coming from. My point being, when I would audition and I would get 20 actors, I would pray and beg they would be amazing. If they weren't, I would work with them and work with them till they were exactly where they needed to be to get a callback. Now, if those 20 aren't good, I'll just bring 20 more in. Those 20 aren't good, I'll bring 20 more in. I'm not going to work on you or spend the time with you that I would in the olden days. I'll just find better people. So please, put yourself fully into the character so it's unique, so not everybody sounds the same. Find interesting nuances. Put everything into it and give all of it. I'm so sick of people going, oh, I'm so worried about being too big. Be too big. At least I can pull you back. If you play it safe because you're worried about what we'll think or what we won't like, and you play it ordinary, you're not going to get anywhere, because I don't know what to do with ordinary. I have no idea how to direct you. So I'm just going to go, okay, thank you, bye. If you are too big, I can pull you back and go, okay, in this part, can you try this? In this part, but now you've given me everything, I know how to to edit you and to pull some stuff back if necessary. But please bring it all, because you only get one time. Everyone keeps thinking, oh, when the next time comes. No, if you don't nail it now, thank you, that's it. I'll find someone else who can nail it the first time. So please bring it all of it, and just trust your instincts.
Yes, I love that.
I was like, oh, okay.
Silence.
I know, we're just like, so smart. Love it.
And leave the room. Leave the room.
What is the best way for actors who maybe don't have agents or managers to contact you?
I'm actually fine with direct emails.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but just don't abuse it.
Yeah.
I like emails that tell me if you do have a new agency, if you've got a play. I love to see plays. So if you have a play that I can come to see that's not, you know, in crazy, because I'm in the Hollywood area. Should I say that?
Hollywood's a big area.
Big area of Hollywood.
So I'd love to see a play that's in the vicinity. So please let me know about plays. I love theater. That's my background. If you have a new agency, if you've changed your look, I need to know, because, you know, a long-haired person as opposed to a really short kind of a buzz cut is a completely different role I may be needed for. So please keep me abreast of your look changing.
Especially guys, I assume.
Especially guys. Even ladies, you'd be surprised. Sometimes they change, you know, have long hair and decide, I'm done, I want to be really short now.
And hair color, too.
Hair color, exactly. Yeah. Please keep me abreast of this stuff. But I don't want things that just say, oh, hi, how are you? Have a good day. No. Because then I'll just block you, because I get hundreds of emails a day. So please be respectful of if you are emailing me, what it's about. And if you, you know, if you want to, you know, get a hold of me through social media. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the usual places. Zora Dehorta Casting. Please, you know, catch me there too. You know, send me an email or DM me.
There we go. There we go. You got it.
I say things like that. My kids roll their eyes.
I know.
I think I called it Insta one day. And Tom said to me, did you just call it Insta. I said, I saw it on the bold type.
So yeah, just get a hold of me on those sites as well. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, I like those as well.
All right. Awesome. Well, Zora, this was...
Was I too short?
No, no, it was great. This was perfect. Was there anything else you wanted to plug or tell people about? Yeah, or be like, else? You're great. Okay,
you know, I love private coaching. So also, if you're just about to do an audition, I'm literally the same day, and you're still a little bit stuck, then please, you know, even if we do Skype, I do Skype coaching as
fantastic.
Well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So just get me on Instagram. I check those messages on Instagram all the time. If you need private coaching... for a day that you have the actual audition, because obviously as a casting director and former actor,
right,
I can definitely let you know what to do and what to make sure.
Oh, I love
you...
that. I'll be in touch.
Yeah, you
that's great.
Yeah, because I get good feedback about callbacks and stuff like that. So
okay, so they can reach out on any of the platforms.
Yeah, but Instagram fantastic. Mostly. I'm on Instagram pretty much more than the other ones.
Right,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I love Instagram because it's just a photo and then you move on. You know?
Right,
it's
right.
Much easier. So yeah.
Totally.
Cool. Well,
but
thank
guys,
you
so much. Another thing too, yes. Guys, yeah. Please, I don't want people just sitting around the phone waiting for their agent or manager to call them. Just remember, you're only paying them 10%.
Yeah.
That means 90% of the work you have to do.
Such a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I mean by that is be active, guys.
Yes.
You know, there's, like I said, between Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, get your own platform. Do something fun. If there's something you've been dying to write, write for yourself and see what comes from it. Do theater. Stay in acting class. So that way you're never, ever rusty and you're never uncomfortable when you get in the audition room. You feel like someone who's professionally working all the time. Walk in like a professional. And that means staying active in some way. You know, do student films, you know, all those things will still keep you on the cutting edge.
Right.
You know, there's no excuses, guys. Stay current, keep doing things that will make you relevant and excited about the profession so you don't get bitter and angry because your agent's not getting you work.
Right.
I know so many people are working all the time by themselves and they still give the agent 10%, which, by the way, you should just out of courtesy, because even though you may not be getting the auditions, I guarantee you your agent is plugging you all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said to you, now I'm getting 1,000. I can't bring everybody in, but I guarantee you your agent is submitting you. So please don't get upset if they're auditioning all the time, but still honor that and give them 10% if you do get your own work.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a nice,
Is there a certain type of project that you enjoy casting the most? Or do you just love them all?
I love them all. I like projects that don't have the necessarily the happy ending. That, for example, I did a film where, you know, someone leaves prison and tries to do well, but just ends up continuing the track he was on because that's all they know.
Right.
And he can't get a break. And I love that. I don't like things that everything is all cookie cutter and perfect at the end, because I feel like that gives people real people sometimes a false sense of hope and that everything will be okay when I get out, and they feel suicidal, depressed because that person made it and it's not necessarily real life.
Right.
So I like things that have a truthful kind of normal ending, as opposed to everything's perfect at the end and everyone's happy and falls in love. I love them. I don't necessarily like those things that are always perfect at the end. You know,
right.
They just, everything is wrapped up so easily. I like things that make people think, that are contrary, that are provocative. But I also like, I'd love to do a goofy comedy someone.
Yeah.
But I don't like things that have gratuitous nudity, that have overly swearing or derogatory African-American words necessarily, the N-word.
Yeah.
I find those things exploitative. I don't like violent horror films that everyone's stabbing and killed. I don't do those kind of things. It's not my thing. So those I will not do. But everything else I
but like a buddy comedy.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But not things that have blue women just running around naked just because,
we can
get a few more tickets. Ticket sales. Woohoo! No, I will not do those things.
Yeah.
But unless it serves a purpose. So things like that. But everything else I love. I love just working, you know, just working on anything that just pushes buttons, makes people laugh, makes people think. If I'm laughing or thinking afterwards, I want to cast that.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask you, I know that there's been lots of different trends in headshots. So, you know, they're now they're sideways and to the left, and now cut the top of your head off, and now have a pink background.
Yeah.
How do you feel about all that stuff?
I don't.
I mean,
I don't like things to the side, and there's all this blank spot, and you're in the very corner of the shot. I'm like, what's, I don't get that.
Yeah. It's like your eyeball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or cutting off the forehead, or no, I literally want to see like a mugshot. I hate to say it, like a criminal mugshot.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But with, you know, color and with a smile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And none of the lines that show you on your height.
And you being you.
Yeah, that's it. Simple. You know, I always say a headshot should look, if your agent calls you or manager and calls you and says, you have an audition in half an hour, 45 minutes. This is especially for women, obviously. What are the steps you do to get ready? That's how I want your picture to look like. Exactly like that.
Oh.
So that way when you walk in the room, I'm like, oh my God, hi, it's so-and-so. I'm not going, excuse me, who are you? What's your time? Because your picture looks nothing like you. So that's what I always say. If you have an audition in half an hour, your agent tells you to go and be there in half an hour, what are the things you need to get ready? What are the steps you do to get ready? That's how your picture should look. And then look like a typical headshot. No, you know, on the corner or cut your head off. Because I want to see what your hairline looks like, too.
Sure,
that could be affecting the character. I may need someone with a specific kind of widow's peak. Or, I mean, I know those things can be done, you know,
of course,
with aesthetics. Mm-hmm. But just things like that. Just have a proper, full-on, you know, a little bit, a few inches on the top and a few inches on the bottom kind of thing. And that's it.
Mm. I love that.
Yeah. You gave us so much good advice.
I know.
Oh,
gosh,
thank you so
very
much
for being here doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really love doing things like this. And like I said, I love that it's women supporting women. And
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, when I was an actor, I think there were times when I didn't feel like I got the kind of feedback that I felt would help me to the next level. I got a lot of, that was fine. That was that was nice.
Yeah.
What can you do as an actor to further yourself, to further your skills, if you're just being told fine or nice? Mm-hmm. Those are not acting words.
They didn't mean
words.
Anything, yeah.
Right.
So that's why for me, I'm glad I love doing things like this. I wanted to always give back.
Mm-hmm.
So when I even give notes, if you do a good audition, I'll tell you what's good about it, so if you can keep growing on that.
Oh, I love that.
As opposed to just saying, yeah, that was nice. Okay, next. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Our
thank
pleasure.
You for talking with us.
Ladies
this is
and
great.
Gentlemen, Zora.
Whee!
And don't forget to share and subscribe for more great content.